Well, as I've shared with you over the last couple of weeks, as our pre-introduction and then our introduction to the book of Philippians, we first looked at the apostles and saw that we were not so much different than they when it comes to the way we live our lives and the calling of God in our lives and the ministry that He's called us to. Then last week, we looked in our introduction to the book of Philippians at the apostle Paul. And I wanted to take some time to look at those two listed here, Paul and Timothy, to get some idea of their heart as Paul writes this book to the church at Philippi, and we get a little bit of insight into his heart and why he writes what he does that we want to apply to our lives as well, too. We looked at the apostle Paul, and we saw his life at a very young age. He was raised as a Pharisee. That's why he became so zealous for God as he was growing. But as he admitted later, he was lost. He was a zealous person for God, but had no true saving faith in God. Then we saw his conversion on the road to Damascus. God had to supernaturally intervene in his life, like he does with everybody. As we sang today, it's God who opens up the heart of a person. And he was converted. He was saved by God's grace, and he was set on the path to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We began to see his calling and his ministry and how he impacted the world around him. And then we also saw his final words in 2 Timothy. He fought the good fight. He kept the faith, and there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness, and he was ready to go be with the Lord. He said in Acts that I never failed to preach the whole counsel of God, and we can do no less today. So this morning, we want to look at his partner, Timothy, also mentioned in Philippians chapter 1. Paul cared a great deal for Timothy, and he involved Timothy a lot in ministry, and he mentored Timothy. He cared for him. He loved him. They had a wonderful relationship as a spiritual father to a spiritual son. Paul helped Timothy to grow in his faith. When we look at the life of Timothy, it starts with his birth, as we looked at the Apostle Paul as well. Timothy, which means honored by God, was born in Lystra. He was born to a Jewish mother and a Greek father, Acts 16:1 says. He was a young man raised to know the Scriptures because he had a faithful mother and grandmother. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Then in 2 Timothy 3, and verse 15, it says, "And from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation." He was raised at an early age to know God through the Scriptures. And by the way, it's really interesting. If you look at that word from childhood, that word childhood is brephos in the Greek. And it's used at a child in the womb in Luke 1, verses 41 and 44. It's used of a newborn child in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. It was also used of Jesus as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. All the same word in each one of those, Luke 2:12. So they taught him early the word of God. So when it came time for him to hear the gospel, his heart was already prepared to respond in faith and repentance to that. There's something to be said about teaching your children young. There's something to be said about teaching your child, even when they are in the womb, to read the Scripture so they can hear that. Do you remember the meeting between Mary and Elizabeth? God came to Mary and said, "All this is going to happen to you." She got so excited, she left and went and talked to Elizabeth. And as Mary greeted Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant, guess what happened? The baby leapt in the womb. There's something to be said about what a child in the womb understands, even at 6 months old. And yet we kill them wholesale today. How sad that is. It was probably Paul that led Timothy to the Lord, as is evidenced by the way he calls him over and over again, my son in the faith. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul calls Timothy my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. When you think about it, Timothy was a relatively young man when he began to minister, when Paul began to use him in several ways. As a matter of fact, every place that Paul wanted to use Timothy, he would share with that church about young Timothy and tell them some things about him to help them to have the same confidence that he had in Timothy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, Paul describes Timothy as our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 16:10, it says, Timothy does the work of the Lord. Wouldn't you like to be known that way? As a brother and a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a laborer for Christ, a worker of God? That's the way Timothy was. Matter of fact, in Philippians 2, verses 19 to 23, Paul sends Timothy to Philippi to be encouraged by what he reports back to him. And Paul tells the church at Philippi about Timothy. He says, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel. What a wonderful thing to have said about you. And Timothy, according to Acts 17, verses 13 to 15, he was left behind in Berea with Silas, and Paul ended up having to leave because the Jewish people were starting to fight against them and wanted to kill them. And so they said, Paul, you need to get out of here. So they took Paul away, and Paul said to Timothy and Silas, stay here for a while, get things in order, and then come and visit me. So you think about that. That would have been a hard ministry for a young man like Timothy, along with Silas, to be able to take care of those Jews who were going against everything they had to say and everything they were trying to build up in that area. But I like what 2 Corinthians 1:19 says about Timothy. It says, he preached the word about Christ. And when you hang around the Apostle Paul, and when you preach the word of Christ like the Apostle Paul, and when you live like the Apostle Paul, sometimes you end up like the Apostle Paul. Because Timothy at one point ended up in prison, and then he was released according to Hebrews 13, verse 23. And I'm sure he probably rejoiced just like the Apostle Paul always did when he was put in prison. Because as we're going to see, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Timothy, tradition says that he was martyred in Ephesus when he stood up against the pagan festival of Diana. It was a pagan, idolatrous, drunken orgy and all that went on in that, and he stood up against that. And under the reign of Domitian, they ended up having him killed. We don't know a lot about Timothy other than what Scripture records there, but we do know a lot about what Paul knew about Timothy. And so what I'd like to do in the final moments that we have left here is I want us to look at how Paul encouraged Timothy, how he admonished Timothy, and how he used Timothy in ministry. And we get a little more insight into Timothy by what Paul instructs him. And he does that because Paul wrote two books to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy was the last book because the Apostle Paul was killed shortly thereafter. But it is rich with things about Timothy that Paul had told him, encouraged him with, and we get a little insight into the life of Timothy. So what I want to do is I want you all to turn to 1 Timothy for just a minute. We're going to run rapidly through both 1 and 2 Timothy to look at just some highlights. I didn't highlight everything, but I went through as much as I could just to kind of get us an overview and some insight into the life of Timothy. And in doing so, we want to see the way he ministered, a little bit about his character, a little about the trials and tests that he went through, a little bit about the sin in his life. And as I've said before, we are not so much different than him. And I want us to learn, because what Paul is writing to Timothy, he is writing to us as well. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Paul told Timothy, you need to be watchful of those who taught that they don't teach any other doctrine. Timothy had an incredible responsibility to keep out a watch for the truth no matter where he went, because there were a lot of false teachers, a lot of false doctrine going on in the churches of that time and in different places. No different than today. The call to all of us is to watch as well too, especially for me as a pastor, to watch what comes into this church by way of teaching, because as Mike's been teaching in Jude, those people want to come in secretly with those damnable heresies and they want to destroy the church. Paul says, you be watchful, Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:18. He had to wage a good warfare. He had to fight for the faith and for the gospel and for the truth. No different than what we are called for today. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. He tells him, be a man of prayer. Corporately, as you gather together, that's the scene in 1 Timothy chapter 2, is corporate prayer, where we pray for those in authority over us, pray for the will of God, and pray privately as well too. Timothy was being cultivated to be a man of prayer. By the way, on the 1st of November, we're going to be starting a men's study on that very issue of prayer. And it's an encouraging, challenging time for us, all of us, but men in particular, to be men of prayer. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul told Timothy, you need to know the workings of the church. From chapter 2, verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 14, he's been telling them about the church and how the church ought to conduct itself and all the things that go on in the church. Timothy, you need to take care of these things. You are the leader in the church now. This is what you are called to do. By the way, Timothy, this is the house of God, the pillar and ground of truth. 1 Timothy 4:6, Paul tells him to instruct others in the faith and proper doctrine as he continually studies and nourishes himself in the doctrines contained in the word, which you have carefully followed. What Paul says, listen, you have followed me. You have learned from me. You continual study and nourish yourself in the word of God, and then you teach others. You have that kind of faith in the proper doctrine that you end up teaching others. And oh, that's exactly what we want for all of us in this congregation, to come to faith, to grow in the faith, to have that proper doctrinal foundation, and then to share that, to nourish ourselves through the word of God. And then we have those mentors and people that we follow to help us to keep strong in the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:7, he's to reject those false doctrines, and he himself is to discipline himself toward godly living. We need to reject those false doctrines. You see, some people say, well, just need to get along. Let's put doctrine aside and let's just love each other. Nothing wrong with loving each other, but we do not put doctrine aside, because that's where true love begins. The foundation is through the doctrines of Scripture that help us to live in obedience, out of that we will love one another. Paul tells Timothy, discipline yourself to godly living. It's a discipline process that we go through on a daily basis to be godly men and women. 1 Timothy 4, verse 11, he is to command, to charge, to order, to declare, and to teach, to instruct biblical truth. That's a responsibility in itself, not to be taken lightly. He had a responsibility to charge and declare the truth of the Word of God, to instruct in doctrine those biblical truths. That's fleeting from our churches today. Churches want to teach what's politically correct or what makes you feel good or all of these kinds of things. But it's the doctrine and the truths that must be taught. And as we're going to see, and as we've seen in our day today, when you preach the truth, you preach against society today. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And when you teach those kinds of things, equally so. 1 Timothy 4:12, he's told to be an example, to be an example leader for others to follow in his words, in his conduct, in his love, in his faith, in his purity. Even as a young man, Paul told him, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. May not be the case to anybody here, no matter what age you are. God can and will use you. He's gifted you. He's called you. Don't let anybody look down on you, but be an example. 1 Timothy 4:13, he's to publicly read the word of God. He's to exhort those who hear it. He's to challenge them to apply it. And in that reading and teaching is the admonition, instruction, and warning, and encouraging. And he does it with doctrine, with the principles of the word of God. You see, the word of God is living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what pierces the heart. Nothing else can do that. If you want a heart and life changed, Paul tells Timothy, then you exhort through the word of God and nothing else. 1 Timothy 4:14, he was to constantly and consistently use his spiritual gift. There must have been some kind of fear that Timothy was feeling and experiencing and maybe even showing in his use of his spiritual gifts. So Paul had to tell him, listen, use your spiritual gift that you've been given. And that's the same admonition for all of us. If you're a born-again believer here, you've been given at least one and probably more spiritual gifts to use for the profit of all, for the glory of God, for the furthering of his kingdom, to build up and edify the church, as Ephesians 4 says. Paul tells Timothy, do that. 1 Timothy 4:15, he was to meditate, to carefully attend to practice on all that he had learned and known. I'll tell you, that love relationship between Paul and Timothy, Paul could say to Timothy, listen, you've learned a lot from me. You learned a lot from the scriptures. You learned a lot from your experience. Meditate on those things. Think about those things that have eternal value. Think about those things in your life that have affected you, that have helped you to grow in your faith. And the challenge is for all of us too. What have been those things in your life that have affected you? What people have been in your life that have ministered to you? How has the Word of God ministered to your life? How has life experiences inside and outside the church affected you to help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Meditate on those things, Paul says. And he says, give yourself entirely to them. Yield yourself to the Word of God and all that does. And then he goes on to say, so that your progress is evident to all. Do you realize the best way to see if somebody is growing in their faith is to see them growing in their faith, the fruit of their life? That's always the evidence that's there. You know, some people say, I'm a born-again believer, I'm a Christian, but there's never fruit, no evidence. But the one who truly is growing, the one who is meditating, the one who is practicing all of these things, their progress is evident. Some might be slow, some might be fast, but the real true test is, are you growing in your faith? 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 to 2. He is to respect those who are older. He's to respect those who are younger than himself. Oh, if we would have that today. Young people disregard those who are older. They think they know it all, and they don't need the advice of those who have had life's experience, who know the scriptures far more than they. 1 Timothy 5:3, he's told to honor true widows. Give them the honor due for them, because if you read 1 Timothy, you see what a true widow is, and they are worth that honor for sure. 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 to 11, Paul tells him, flee the worldly words and influences, especially when it comes to the love of money. Don't be in ministry for money. Don't love money to the point where it influences every area of your life. Like 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 to 11 says. Then he says in 1 Timothy 6, 11, Timothy, I want you to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. 1 Timothy 6, 12, he's to fight. He's to agonize the good fight of faith. You're to fight against those supernatural sources because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You are in a spiritual battle every day for the truth, for the word of God. Fight for it. And we are called to do the same thing. 1 Timothy 6:14. He is to keep the commandment, to keep the word of God without spot and blameless until Christ comes back. That's a call for all of us to maintain the word of God, keep the word of God, obey the word of God. And when we don't, which we all do from time to time, we confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we move forward again. 1 Timothy 6:14, he's to keep the commandment, the word of God, without spot and blame. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:17, he is to tell those who are rich and live in pride, and because of those riches, not to trust in them, but to trust in God. Oh, how many people do you know today that feel content and have their contentment in things, in what they possess, in what they think they have? That's their source of joy. And it's fleeting. 1 Timothy 6:20, he is to guard what was committed to his trust. As I shared with you a couple weeks ago, when we talk about that legacy that was given to us, we guard that in our life and we pass that down to the next generation. And they guard that and they guard that. And it's something that we guard until Christ comes back. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God in you. In other words, that word stir up means to rekindle or to keep alive, because apparently he was faithful or fearful about doing that. Something was going on there, and maybe there was the intimidation of the older people or the things that were going on. So Paul said, Timothy, rekindle that. Do what you know you're supposed to do. 2 Timothy 1:8, he's not to be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ, even in the threat of persecution. He saw Paul being persecuted over and over again, and he was never ashamed. Paul tells Timothy, I don't want you to be ashamed either. And you will face it, but don't be ashamed. Don't hide from it. Don't run away. Don't deny it. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, and 2 Timothy 3, and verse 14, he is told to hold fast to sound words, to sound doctrine, to the scripture, and to do so with a proper attitude of faith and love. You see, when we hold to the doctrines of scripture, we do so because we've been saved by God's grace. We have that faith that has been given to us as a gift. And the proper attitude for us as we hold to these things is one of humility. God chose us from the foundation of the world and he saved us. We're not deserving of that. But because he saved us and we understand the scriptures and we hold to those things, we do so because he gives us the strength by the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. And that ought to humble our hearts on a daily basis. We ought to not live in pride thinking we know so much more than anybody else because we don't. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul told Timothy, I want you to commit to faithful men which was committed to you. That's the legacy that's carried on from generation to generation. Paul spent time with Timothy, telling him all of these things. Now he says, now I want you to come alongside somebody else and tell them all of these things so that they can come alongside somebody else and tell them all of these things. Because if we don't, that legacy stops. Who is your Paul and who is your Timothy today? 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, and 2 Timothy 4, verse 5 says, you must endure hardship as a good soldier, endure afflictions. Because Paul knew that when Timothy preached the truth, when he lived the truth, he would suffer affliction. And we're in a fight, so fight as a good soldier. 2 Timothy 2:15, is to be diligent in the study of His Word, rightly divide the Word of truth. Spend time studying it, reading it, meditating on it, knowing what it says. Gary Apley said this morning in Sunday school, if you don't know the Word of God, you can't live it. 2 Timothy 2, verses 16 and 22. He's to shun profane and idle babblings, heresies, foolish disruptors, and all of that because they generate strife. I can't tell you how many times people have talked to me and the conversation goes to these very kinds of things, somehow trying to either justify themselves or to some way demean the gospel, and they want that argument to take place. It's so in their pride they can say they've got something over on me. That's a wearisome thing, and you've probably experienced that yourself with somebody you talk to like that. But we have to keep our mouth shut because it does nothing more than generate strife. What they need more than anything is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why Romans says when you share the law of God, it shuts the mouth. Nothing else can do that. You can't argue your way out of somebody who's not a believer that God hasn't prepared their hearts yet. 2 Timothy 2:22, he says, flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness. Men and women, you know that. Young or old, there are those lusts that come into our lives. The only way to deal with those is running from those. Run away from that. And then flee, pursue righteousness. That word flee is the word fuge. It's where we get our word fugitive from. You see, we're always onslaughted with the temptations of the world. And so we have to run as a fugitive as they chase us. And as we run, we are pursuing righteousness. So we run to our knees and we run to the Word of God and we run to that godly counsel and wisdom that encourages our hearts. 2 Timothy 2:24, don't quarrel, be gentle to all. If you want to be a pastor or an elder, a deacon, those are qualities that are for sure needed, but certainly in all of the congregation. 2 Timothy 2:25, he's in humility to correct those who are in opposition. You don't just correct somebody, you correct them in humility. As Galatians 6:1, Gary shared earlier as well too, that we need to examine ourselves before we approach anybody. We're to take the mote out of our own eye, all of that in humility. And maybe Timothy struggled with some of these things, and maybe that's why Paul had to tell them and remind him about some of these. He has to do that with us too. 2 Timothy 4:1, he's to preach the Word of God in season and out of season. And you realize today that we are out of season when it comes to the Word of God? Nobody wants to hear it. Everybody wants to rail against it. Everybody wants to shut the mouth of those who want to preach it. Paul tells Timothy in that time, don't stop. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Share the gospel with your friends and family who don't want to hear it. You share it with everybody. We never stop. 2 Timothy 4:5. He's told to be watchful in all things and endure the afflictions. 2 Timothy 4:5 again, he is to do the work of the evangelist and fulfill his ministry. You be watchful of everything that's going on around you, Timothy, and you're going to have to endure those times when things are said or done against you. Just know that God is sovereign. Even in that, he's molding and shaping you in the image of Christ. So continue to do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Timothy was an evangelist. An evangelist is one who shares the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he probably shared with many people as he could about who Jesus Christ was. And by the way, we have the same ministry, do we not? Mark 16 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Nobody is exempt from that. Well, Paul loved Timothy, and he loved him enough to tell him the truth about things in his life, about what he could expect, about what he needed to change, about what he needed to keep doing. And in all of that, he said, just keep the faith, just keep going until you die, until Christ comes back, and then you'll have your reward, because then your hope will be realized. Fight the good fight as a soldier of Christ. And when we look at Paul and Timothy, as we begin to study Philippians chapter 1, we see their lives and what they went through, what they did, how they ministered, how they were called, all the conflicts and trials and joys and triumphs of their life. And Paul says, I want to share with this church at Philippi these important things out of my life and what God has shared with me by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you, church at Philippi, and I want to share with you, church, Lighthouse Bible Church in Riverton, Wyoming. May we, as we begin this adventure together, learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and apply these to our lives as well, too.